Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by my FB Ad Manager training program. If you're looking to grow a Facebook ads business, managing Facebook ads for other people so that you can create something that has unlimited revenue potential, gives you the freedom to work when and from where you want while helping people live better lives, my FB Ad Manager program is for you. Enrollment's now open as of today, Monday, August 6th, and it's going to be open for a few days.
So after getting Rick's help, I actually was able to grow my business really fast. Once I gained clarity through some of his help, what ended up happening was I went from just a couple clients and almost no revenue to about 22 clients and about $30,000 a month just doing Facebook ads for my niche clients. And I was able to do that within about four to five months.
Since joining FB Ad Manager about 18 months ago, I've been able to turn my struggling little side hustle into a thriving full-time business. I quit my job at the end of 2017, and I've been working full-time in this Facebook ads agency that I'm creating since then, and it has been growing consistently every month. I've now replaced my six-figure income, but the best part is I get to work flexibly and be available for my kids when they need me most.
If I had to give one piece of advice to someone who's first starting out or somebody who's in an ads business or wanting to do an ads manager business and they're struggling, I think following a proven system or a proven plan is the best thing they can do. And I think that's where Rick, working with you, consuming as much of your content as they can, is going to be their best strategy, truly.
Again, enrollment's only open for a few days. So to learn more and enroll, go to the fbadmanager.com/learn. Again, that link is the fbadmanager.com/learn.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
What is up, my friends? Thanks a lot for coming to hang out with me today on the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. This is episode number 203, and I'm Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what this is all about, right? On today's episode, I'm really excited to welcome my good friend and former student, Rachel McMichael, onto the show. Rachel and I are actually in the same mastermind together. Now, she started her first online business in the fitness space about 6 years ago when she was pregnant with her first child. And her goal was to quickly create an online business. She wanted to create a business very quickly so she could create some revenue for herself. And she was doing boot camps as part of her business. And she was running Facebook ads for those boot camps. Well, her boot camps were so successful because of her ads that other fitness trainers started approaching her, asking her for help growing their businesses. And so I asked Rachel to come on the show today to talk about this complete evolution that she's gone through with her business. I've known her for a little while now, and I've never seen her happier than she is right now. Not to mention, at the time this episode is coming out, she's a little over 18 weeks pregnant with her second child. So that's something we've been totally geeking out about a lot, all the baby stuff. And so Rachel has an online web design company and Facebook ad agency where she serves coaches and online course creators, and her business has completely taken off. In fact, she's fully booked and she's got a waiting list of at least 6 months at the moment, but it wasn't always that way. She's definitely had her struggles in building her Facebook ads business, which we dive into that today. So today you're going to hear how Rachel's actually been able to grow more quickly by keeping things small and by scaling back. You're also going to learn things like how she started attracting her ideal clients, the significant shift that she made in her business earlier this year, and why she says it was so necessary. We talk about what valuable lessons that she's learned around pricing her services and charging what she's worth. We talk about what happens when you don't set boundaries with clients, plus the two words that Rachel says has changed everything for her business. We get into how she's refined her interview process with potential clients and what type of person that she will not work with. We talk about the insights that Rachel has gained around outsourcing, including the single biggest mistake that she's made around hiring. This one is going to surprise you. It blew me away when I heard this from her. We talk about the ways that she's embraced the leadership role and what three roles that she would hire for first if she were to start her Facebook ads business all over again. We get into Rachel's biggest insights around having a successful mindset and the best thing a new Facebook ad manager can do right now. We talk about what her business is going to look like after baby number two comes along, and a whole lot more. There's a lot to get into here today with Rachel, so let's go hang out with her. Rachel, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've been chatting here before we hit record, and you have some big news.
I do. It's really similar to yours.
Share it with AOPT Nation, and we're going to chat about this for a second.
Yes, so we just found out that we are pregnant with our second child.
Awesome.
And it's going to be a boy.
Amazing. Congratulations. We have been chatting about this for a little while because I shared on the show here that Amy, my wife's pregnant, and we're expecting a baby girl later this year. And actually, you and I, we're like within a few weeks of each other now. What do you say? Like, we are expecting? Is that how you say this?
I guess our due dates are within just a couple weeks of one another.
So. I'm learning so much during this process. It's been crazy. I mean, it's crazy, so amazing, but I've been learning so much.
That's
awesome. So happy for you guys. And I know that we're kind of going through this together. You know, we check in with each other about how you guys are doing, and I give you updates on what's happening over here. So super fun and really excited to have you on the show here. You know, we've been talking a lot. We're in the Inner Circle Mastermind, James Wedmore's Mastermind, and so we've known each other for a while. And you actually took my ad manager program. What was it? Last March, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Last March. I think that's right. I always get the dates mixed up, but I think it was last March.
Okay. So that was when I first launched it. And you came into that program already having a Facebook ads business. You were already managing ads for other people. And if I'm not mistaken, you really came in wanting to, like, you had the ads part down. Like, you're like, all right, I know the ads part. I'm really good at this. Let's see what I can pick up. Any kind of tips or tricks about, you know, growing on the business side of things. And that's really what your goal was. So I want to kind of break that down and unpack that a little bit. But before we do, you know, share a little bit about, you know, what you're doing in your business. And I know that I'm really excited to kind of talk about your evolution to where you've got what you're doing right now. I've not seen you happier than you are right now. And I know that that's been a journey to get there. So definitely want to be chatting about that here today. So share with our wonderful listeners here a little bit more about yourself and sort of how you've gotten to where you are today.
Oh, goodness. How far back do you want me to go? I'm just kidding. So I started an online business almost 6 years ago when I found out I was pregnant with our daughter. And back then it was actually a fitness business. But what I did in that online personal training business was I really decided I don't want to go knocking on doors becoming a personal trainer. I want to take this thing online. I want it to grow fast. Just there was something very entrepreneurial in me. I created a blog. I started running Facebook ads way back then when back then I just knew how to run the boost post button. Yep. And it would generate leads for my boot camp. They would fill up with just a boosted post. Well, other trainers started coming to me and started asking me for help with their businesses, other entrepreneurs and other business owners. And I realized, one, I don't really love fitness. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for people who do, but it's not a passion of mine. It was just something that I felt like made sense while I was pregnant to do. I'm not sure. I'm nuts. And so it really transformed from me training other people to get fit to me training other people how to create their online businesses. And through the process, I fell in love with the tech, with the systems, with the setup, with all the behind the scenes data points. And with Facebook ads, there's nothing more fun than all the data that points to all the decisions that you need to make when it comes to ads.
Sure.
And so I invested in a few courses. I started helping my clients with their ads. And that turned into really creating this online web design and Facebook ads agency where I serve coaches, online course creators, people in the online services and course creation space. So that really took off. But when it took off, what I did was I did it all wrong. I did it all backwards, if I'm just being honest. I mean, I was like a 16-year-old with a Ferrari when it came to my business, and I built this giant thing with no real systems and structure in place. And so I started working with, actually interviewed with a client who was familiar with you, Rick, and she said, "Have you taken Rick's course?" And I said, "I haven't, but I will." And so she signed on to work with me for one of her launches on the condition that I would take your course.
Oh, really?
So that's cool. So I took your course.
Nice.
And through taking your course, what I found, oh my goodness, and I'm all about learning. I think it's so important to always be growing. I think you don't know what you don't know. And so in any business, in anything you're doing, whether you're the CEO of a company or whether you're a clerk at a desk, you can never stop learning. And I love learning. And so as I started to dive into your course, specifically for ads managers, I realized I've set up my business backwards. Like I literally did this in reverse. Like, and so I was able to quickly implement, you know, customer support processes, ways where I could really serve my clients in an incredible and unique way that really kept them wanting to come back. I learned, you know, just the three people that I had never hired that you suggest to hire first. And so I learned so much. And through that process, was able to really start attracting the clients that I was so obsessed with working with. And that made things super, super fun. But I don't want to say I got greedy, but I took on too much. I got so excited and so so eager to serve so many people that I took on so much that by the end of last year, I was just exhausted working crazy hours. And the business was thriving. It was a multi six-figure ad agency by that point. Mm-hmm. But I was really tired. And so this year, 2018, has been all about simplifying and scaling. And so if it doesn't make things simpler or it won't scale the business, I've just had to learn how to say no. And in doing that, I have actually cut back on the number of clients I serve. We've formed a wait list so that, you know, the clients that we are really excited to work with can work with us. We've really started to simplify and actually keep it smaller. But in keeping it smaller, we've been able to grow, which sounds nuts, but it's so true. So it's been a real evolution in the business from online personal training to now running this agency to now really focusing more on evergreen and systemized solutions for entrepreneurs.
I love it. I mean, and there's so much there that I want to unpack right now. So when you went from running your own ads and, you know, filling the boot camps and stuff, by the way, were those in-person boot camps or were those online boot camps that you're doing?
They were online. It was okay. Me on YouTube videos.
Okay.
So special. I can
love it. Love it. How did, and were the people that were in your boot camps, were they fellow train, were like, were you training trainers or not?
No, okay. I wasn't. They were mostly women who were going through what I was going through. I had just had a baby, or the first part of it, I was pregnant, but then mm-hmm. I had just had a baby. I was getting back into pre-baby shape. And so they were really women that were just like me who were on a journey to really feel great about themselves.
Gotcha. Okay. So other trainers were seeing your success. They were noticing what was going on there. They were saying, hey, Rachel, wow, you're crushing it. Teach me your ways, right? And exactly. So did you start teaching them, or was it more of run my ad? Like they wanted you to run their ads.
It started off, this is so embarrassing. So, you know, I had been a personal trainer, but I had never done business stuff before. So I thought, well, I'll just sell like a package of coaching sessions for these people. And in these coaching sessions, for the most part, they actually just wanted me to sit at the computer and help them set things up. But mm-hmm. at the time, I didn't really know how that would unfold.
Yeah.
So I would charge $50 an hour for one-on-one work with me, and you'd get a discount. So if you purchased 4-hour-long sessions, I would give you a discount. It'd be $150 for 4 one-on-one coaching calls with me.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's so funny to look back and be like, whoa, but in the online training world, like, that's good money. That was still great.
Yeah.
and so that's how it started. And as I started working with my clients, what I realized is, yes, they needed a plan and a strategy, but most of them, their big struggle, they knew where they wanted to take their business. They just didn't know how to implement the behind the scenes tech pieces to get it there.
Got it. And that's really where you know, were like, I really enjoy this stuff. I love the tech side. I love the back end stuff. I love the data, all this other stuff. And is that when you started to run the ads yourself for them?
Exactly.
Okay.
So it turned into them saying, well, why don't you just help me run these? And really what it started, Rick, is they would pay me for these 4 sessions. So the first session, I'd go in and help them set up the ads. And then in the second session, we'd look through the data and troubleshoot what was going on. And so it was as if I was managing their ads, mm-hmm. but in these one-on-one situations.
So from there, it evolved into like, all right, you're just going to do it yourself, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How did you start charging at that point when you made that transition? Because that's a big fear that, you know, new ads managers or maybe they've just started out with their business and maybe they have a couple clients and they're just kind of trying to get their foundation down for the business. They have this fear of doing a lot of work for very little money. How is that transition for you going from like, all right, I'm coaching them, walking them through how to do this stuff to, you know what, now I'm going to actually run the campaigns. Did you charge them differently or did you keep up with the type of pricing structure that you had?
Well, I will say I didn't have a very good pricing structure.
Okay.
And when I took your course, it was such an eye opener for me in terms of how I really should be pricing mm-hmm. and what I could be pricing mm-hmm. and really diving into the community that comes with that course and seeing what other people were doing. It was very eye-opening for me. So I just slapped a price tag on, and what I found, and this is where I kind of got myself into trouble, especially back at the very beginning, mm-hmm. was that it took a lot longer to do things than I thought it would. I didn't have good expectations set and boundaries set with my customers. So because they knew I was good at all the tech, there was a lot of overlap in terms of, well, can you just help me connect this landing page? Or
yes.
I can't really figure out how to do this other piece. And so they wanted above and beyond what typical Facebook ads strategy and implementation would look like. And so, you know, obviously that's why they hired me, because I was great at both. And so I was very undervalued. I was working a lot. I actually hired someone to help me implement the ads. So I hired an ads strategist to be on my team mm-hmm. to help with some of the consults and some of those things, but didn't really know what I was doing there either. And so it was a really special season, Rick. It was really special.
So
I wish I'd had your course back then.
I want to break that down, but you mentioned something there that comes up a lot in conversations with other ad managers that come on the podcast here and also with my students and so forth, is that whole boundary thing. And, you know, that when there aren't clear boundaries set between the ad manager and the client can often take advantage of that. Not all of them, of course, but that's not an uncommon thing to happen. And you had that come up for you. Was it a case of you set clear expectations up front and then they went overboard and took advantage, you know, and not took advantage because that's sort of the next option here, but they just sort of, you know, they just went overboard with it. And they're like, look, I'm working with you. Can you do this also? Or was it a case of you didn't set clear expectations up front? And then because of that, they were like, game on, I'm just going to ask you anything and everything.
So I think I've set very unclear expectations.
Okay.
And I also, when people would ask me to do more, instead of saying, sure, that'll cost an additional $100, $500, $1,000, I just said, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And so really not standing in my own power and saying, you know, of course, I ask people all the time to do extra things for me with the expectation that I'll pay them to do those things. So if someone, my expectations are going to come back to me and say, sure, that'll be an extra XYZ.
Yep.
But I was insecure in running my own business to the point where I wouldn't say yes and that'll cost you this, yes and that'll be an extra whatever. And so as I got more comfortable in the business and more comfortable in my own mindset and in what was going on with my clients, and quite frankly, Rick, especially after I took your course, it almost gave me permission to say yes and those words changed everything, because then I didn't have that feeling of being taken advantage of. And I don't think that, I think most people come into business with pure hearts. I think that they're good people and they're just asking because they're curious. Can you help me with this? I don't think they have bad intentions in asking.
Sure.
That. And so when we don't stand in our power and say yes, and we create a really toxic relationship, and that's on me. I created a toxic relationship because I started to feel taken advantage of.
Yeah. And resentful.
And resentful. Yep. And then they could sense that in our working relationship, I'm sure. I mean, how could they not sense that? And so I really believe that that's on the shoulders of the service provider to say yes and to really set those clear boundaries, to really enforce those boundaries. Yep. Have I had clients that have, once I stuck to clear boundaries, have I had clients that have taken advantage of it? I have. And those always come with some difficult conversations.
Yep.
And those aren't always easy, but those are way few and far between, because most people are good people and they want to respect your boundaries.
Now, I love that you said that, because I hear from a lot of ad managers, especially when they're early in their business, that they're frustrated from working with what they would deem wrong clients, quote unquote, wrong clients. And, you know, the whole thing about what we're talking about here and how you were able to build this amazing business around working with the right clients, right? And you went through a learning period, of course, but, you know, there's that for the people who are early on in their business, there's often that frustration in working with the wrong clients. What would you say to those people who are in that case? Could it be a case, or do you think it could be a case of maybe on them to be setting those expectations, or maybe it's being more choosy in the type of business that they're talking to and saying yes to work with?
Absolutely. I think it's both. So looking back, when I've had clients that were challenging or frustrating, I can always go back to my initial interview with them and say, oh, I saw that red flag and I ignored it. And so what I've learned, and I think this is the great thing about entrepreneurship and business in general, when you're dealing in a frustrating situation, the great part of a frustrating situation is it doesn't last forever. And it's always a great learning experience. Some of my most challenging business situations have been some of my biggest learning points,
yes,
especially when it comes to clients and customer service. And so, you know, if you're in that situation, I think it's always on us to first look inward and say, what could I do differently here? How can I positively affect this situation? And a lot of times it's, let me start to clearly communicate the boundaries and the terms of how we work together. Mm-hmm. And then if someone starts to go above and beyond those terms, it's using language like, sure, I can absolutely do that, and that will cost this. Sure, I can absolutely do that, and this is what that would look like and how it would change our current working relationship. Or if you don't have time, saying, I'm so sorry, I am fully booked right now, but let me recommend someone who can.
Yeah, I was going to say, or you could say, unfortunately, I'm not able to do that because my schedule is full and it's outside the scope that, you know, of what, you know, what we're working on right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then the interview process. So we really started to refine the questions that we ask before we take on clients. So I would take on clients who had no experience with ads, didn't understand ads. And now I won't work with someone who doesn't at least understand the basic concepts. And for me, that switch was because I realized that I need my clients to trust me.
Yes.
And if they don't understand the basic terminology, they're going to assume that I am the problem because they don't understand the data. So I really take time to educate my clients on the data ahead of time. And I have certain things that I'm looking for in an interview process before I take on a client that would deem them, you know, a red flag client. And then I do set those boundaries and say, I'm so sorry, at this point I'm not going to be able to take you on as a client. And here's who I would refer you to. Here's someone else that I know does great work.
I love that you do that because I say that all the time to business owners who are saying, hey, Rick, you know, I want to outsource, you know, my Facebook ads. I want to hire somebody to do it. And inevitably, that's my first, if I don't already know, that's my first question and saying, you know, well, what's your, do you, you know, my thing is, do you make yourself know enough to be dangerous with,
exactly,
with ads? Because I have countless students who come to me who've been taken advantage of. I mean, not on purpose necessarily, but, you know, they've hired somebody to run their ads and, you know, 3 months later, they're out $8,000 with no results to show for it. And I know it just breaks my heart when I hear that sort of thing. How do you gauge that type of basic knowledge from them? How are you finding that out?
So I'm glad that you said that, Rick, because the majority of the clients that I've worked with have also been burned in the past,
yep,
by people who really didn't know what they were doing. And I always try to recommend people to people who have taken your course, because I know that your course teaches people how to do ads management right and how to troubleshoot when there's problems. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of courses leave out. Mm-hmm. They teach how to run basic ads, but not what to do when you run up against issues,
right, right,
which is inevitable.
Yeah, which happens a lot.
All the time. But just to answer your question, I would say that I always tell my clients, you know, outsource your weaknesses, not your blind spots. And so if ads are a complete blind spot for you, you're not quite ready to outsource. It's time to just take a quick course, brush up on, you know, the ads manager, really understanding the ins and outs and the basics, and then outsource because you know it's a weakness.
Yeah, I love that. I just literally this afternoon, a couple hours before we're talking here, I had a conversation with one of my students who is a very successful business owner. He owns multiple businesses, and he, you know, his goal was to originally, he wanted to learn Facebook ads so he could be, you know, in the mix of it, running, you know, doing those ads for his business. And then he kind of decided, you know what, this isn't something I want to do. I do want to outsource this, you know. But I told him, I said, great, I totally support that. But, and then had this exact conversation here with him that, look, like, you know, get yourself some knowledge that such that you can have a conversation with whomever you hire, that you know the lingo, you know the terminology, you know the data that you're looking at, so that, you know, you can have an educated conversation with whomever you hire, and that, you know, you guys are, I mean, not at the same level, but at least you're in the same playing field when, you know, when you're doing that. So I'm so glad that that was part of your process in hiring or in taking on clients. You mentioned something earlier that during that year where you were, you know, all of a sudden you're getting a lot of clients, you mentioned you noticed you were doing things quote unquote wrong, like, you know, a customer support process or hiring or whatever. And you were just kind of flying by the seat of your pants and just like, hey, holy cow, this is really taking off. I'm just going to run and do this. Can you kind of like take us through what that was like for you and sort of making some of those decisions? Because as you've been mentioning here, like, it may have been frustrating at the time, but you learned a ton and you quickly turned it around and created this amazing business for yourself.
Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes that I made was I hired too fast. And I know that sounds backwards because I always tell people, like, you probably need to hire before you're ready. Mm-hmm. And I agree, you need to hire before you're ready. But when I say hire too fast, I mean, I got three applications and I just picked one and I said, yeah, you're working for me here. Let's go.
What was that role? What was that role that you were hiring for?
Oh, I hired so many different roles. I hired a Facebook ads specialist. I hired a graphics person. I hired web designers because I had things were growing everywhere. So it wasn't just the agency that was growing. It was also my web design business. We were helping people create funnels. And so I was hiring a tech person. I couldn't do it all.
Sure.
So I'm hiring all these people to help. And instead of hiring someone to manage all of the people, I just became a manager. Mm-hmm. And I hired... Rick, this is so nuts. I had one person in, I don't even remember what year it was, but in October of that year. And by March, I had 17 people on my team.
What? So, October to March? Holy cow.
From October to March.
I had no idea.
I say, like, I went nuts.
You went crazy.
I went nuts.
Yeah. You were like, game on. Let's grow this bad boy.
I was like, game on. Let's grow this bad boy. And it did. It grew. It worked. But it put so much pressure and strain on me because I was the only person who could train. I was the only person who knew the vision. I was the only person who could take people where I wanted them to go. So I'm documenting processes at the same time as sending them with no real plan and with people that just happened to be a friend or an old student or someone that came to mind that I thought maybe she'd want to work for me. And so it was, I mean, like I was riding the struggle bus. Now these were, the majority of the people were contractors. And so they had other jobs, not just mine, that they were working on. They weren't full-time hires. And so that added an extra layer of complexity in terms of making sure I knew when they could work and how often they were working and getting deadlines for clients set and established. And so it was a really special season.
So how did you, like, what happened after that? So it obviously didn't, you know, this was not what you really wanted. What happened? Did you feel like you created another job for yourself rather than, look, I'm the business owner here?
Absolutely. And to be honest, I wasn't prepared to step into that type of a leadership role yet in that season for that many people. And so, you know, the tone of the leader is the tone of the pack, and I was frantic. And so I'm so grateful and so blessed and so humbled that every single person that's worked for me has never had anything but great things to say. But in that season, they watched the struggle and I didn't lead them the way that I knew I was capable of leading them. And so I had to really step into that leadership role. I had to really step into the role of showing them what needed to be done. There were a lot of performance issues that I knew came back to me as the leader, not them as the performer, because I hadn't taught them well. And so, you know, hey, go set this up without ever teaching them how to do it the first time. So I learned a lot.
Yeah.
My team learned a lot. We've scaled back on the team since then. I've helped some of those contractors relocate into other positions with great, great other employers. And it's just been, it was a really cool season. The way it all worked out, it was just divinely appointed is all I can say, because I couldn't have worked that puzzle out any better than it did as it was working together. But it was a crazy season, Rick. And if I had taken your course, none of those people would have been my first hires. They would have been the hires that you recommend. And so I don't want to give away all the goods on your podcast, you recommend three specific positions and I didn't have either of those three positions filled. And so those things I was still doing myself, or they just weren't getting done.
Yeah. Instead, what would be your first? Because you mentioned, you know, hiring an ad strategist, for example, to, you know, to get into ads manager and sort of be the day-to-day person in there. Is that what your first hire would be? Or what, if you were to do that all over again, what would it be?
An attorney, a bookkeeper,
yeah,
and a great virtual assistant.
Yeah. Yeah. To get your business foundation off and running, get some of these things off your plate so that you're not having to do it, and also peace of mind that the business is, you know, the business is taken care of and so forth. You also mentioned before, you said by keeping it smaller, you've been able to grow more quickly.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
So as we scaled back in terms of the number of clients we served, we also scaled back in the number of contractors that we work with. And that was a hard decision, but it was actually a really refreshing decision. Like I said, I was able to place a lot of my contractors with other incredible entrepreneurs and other people. And so everyone, at the end of the day, it just all worked out amazing. I mean, as good as it possibly could. But in scaling back, that really gave me more freedom and flexibility to focus on what I'm really great at, which is running an online business and really the direction and the vision for the business. And in scaling back the number of clients we served, we were able to serve our existing clients really, really well. So we didn't have people, not that they were falling off the radar or anything like that, but you know what I mean? Like we were able to really, really serve our clients in a capacity that we hadn't been able to serve them before. And so that was really exciting. And then I was able to really focus on some of our digital and online courses that we have for entrepreneurs who just aren't ready to outsource. That person who isn't ready to run their own ads because they don't understand ads yet. I wanted to have a solution for the new entrepreneur as well as those seasoned entrepreneurs. So it allowed me to really step into a space where I could create and update some of those things. And so by scaling back the number of clients we were serving, I was able to create solutions that could serve even more people in a different capacity. And that's been really, really fun.
And need less of you.
Absolutely.
On a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Now, one big fear that newer ad managers tend to have is, I don't know if I can get this person results, or I don't know if I can get this local business results, whatever it might be that they're working. They have this fear of taking on this new client and you're like, I'm not really sure it's going to work. Did you ever face that at all?
Well, of course. I'm human.
Yeah. What was that? What was that like? Because you were running, you know, obviously you were doing it really successfully for your own, you know, for your own stuff, for your own fitness, for the boot camps and so forth. And, you know, other fitness people came out like, you know what, I want to learn what you're doing because I know it's working. Talk about a time where that maybe happened, where you were talking to somebody and you're like, I don't know if I can get them results.
Absolutely. I think every time we up level, that happens. And so the first time I was working with someone who wanted to do a 6-figure launch, and I'd only ever helped with 5-figure launches. And I was like, well, can I spend that amount of money? They wanted to spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on their ads. I'd never spent that much before. And I thought, can I scale that quickly? Can I do this? Do I understand their audience well enough to really get the right people in? And so I think we all go through that. And what I always have to remind myself is that I am the expert here. I am the one who has done the training. I'm the one who has, at this point, I've worked with other clients. And so I know my past history, and that helps me to get really comfortable with what the future is going to hold. Mm-hmm. When I was first getting started, we talked about I charged $50 for a one-on-one session. Obviously, I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in my ability to get my clients results. Mm-hmm. But as I continued to get them results and they continued to grow these thriving businesses, it became that confidence grew. And so I think for the person who's just getting started, it's just start. Just do it. You know more than the person on the other end of the screen from you or on the other end of the table from you. And so rest in that confidence. And especially if they're working with you, Rick, if they're in your course or your program, I mean, the community there, they've always got the resources at their fingertips that they need. So I knew I had that support to come back to. And so that was always really refreshing. I had a safety net in place. I wasn't doing this all on my own. I wasn't by myself. I had coaches and mentors and leaders who I could reach out to, or who I could be a part of their community and really get that support that I needed.
Yeah. And it's okay to, I mean, we're kind of joking here that you were doing $50 an hour sessions, you know, it's okay if you're just starting out and you're, you know, you don't have that type of, you know, confidence or experience yet. It's okay to start off for free and get some case studies and get some experience and confidence going, and then just start to build up from there. I mean, that, like, we all start off somewhere. And
$50 an hour, by the way, is actually a really great salary for a job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that felt great for me when I was just getting started, for sure.
Yeah. Now, where your business is at now is you're working only with launch clients. And so this, you know, this whole evolution of what we've been talking about, and you know, like I said, we've been talking a lot over the past several months, and I've not seen you happier than where you are right now. And I want to acknowledge you on that, because we chatted in November, I think it was, of last year, at the end of 2017. We were sitting in Laguna Beach, and you were not a happy camper. You know,
you were having
a rough time, and just kind of see where, you know, from how far you've come from that point, as far as just in your happiness level and being the business owner, coming out of where you were working so much in the business, you know, in the past to where you are right now. I just want to acknowledge you on that, because it's been so much fun and amazing to see that. And I'm so happy to see you so happy with it. And so
and I give you a lot of credit for that. Not to interrupt, I give you a lot of credit for that, Rick, because we were sitting there and you said something to me, and it gave me the confidence that I needed to really be able to step out of what I was in and step into something new. And so I attribute a lot of where I'm at right now to the conversation that we had back then, where you just gave me that assurance that I needed and almost just gave me this permission to say, it's going to be okay. And if it's not, it's still going to be okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
I owe a lot of this to that conversation that we had there.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And where you're at right now, you are only working with launch clients.
Yes.
You're only doing launches. So you've created this exactly what works for you right now. And you know what? Look, I want to do launches, and I only want to work with a few different clients, and you're liking it. So how is it set up now for you?
It's great. It's really, really wonderful. So we're actually on a wait list right now. We are fully booked. We're probably on about a 6-month wait list, which is incredible and
That's
something
awesome.
I never thought I'd be able to say. And there's 3 clients that I currently work with. So we're not working with a ton of clients, but mm-hmm. we're working with really big launches. So we're talking 6- and 7-figure launches that are happening a few times a year. And there's something that just gets me fired up. When it comes to launching, I love launching. I love the strategy of launching. I love the 80 gazillion different types of ads that can go into launching and how we determine each of the pieces of the launch and the way we can pivot so easily in a launch. And so, I don't know. Even just talking about it, you're probably hearing it in my voice. It just gets me really fired up.
I can totally hear it. You're all pumped up. I love it.
And so being able to do that and to work with that specific thing and what I love about the clients that I get to work with, and I know you talk about this all the time, and it's the same reason I do what I do, because when I get to work with these clients, whether it's my, you know, clients that I'm serving with the agency in this capacity or whether it's students that are in my courses, the reality of what you and I get to do is when we serve someone and they get their message to their people,
yep.
I mean, we have a ripple effect
yep.
that is pretty continuous. Because then their clients go on to serve their clients who go on to serve their clients. And it's just really fulfilling and really rewarding to be able to do that. And I think that's what lights me up so much about launches.
I love it. I love it. And I talk a lot about, and we've talked about it too, this whole ripple effect. And it just makes it so much more gratifying to know that, just like you just said, Rachel, not only are you helping that person, but that person is helping all these other people, and that all of them are helping, you know, their students or other people as well, and in adding value and putting out content and stuff like that. So really, really cool stuff. I love this conversation, and I am so, so happy for where you've come and where you are right now and everything that's ahead for you. What are you going to do? Actually, I haven't even asked you this before. What are you going to do when the baby comes? Have you thought about what the business will look like for you at that point?
So again, I think it was just divine timing that the words for this year and really the way that we're headed has been systemize and simplify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so as we've been doing that, that's really paved a pathway for when this baby comes in December, we're going to be in a really good place in the business. I absolutely have every intention of spending lots of time with the baby, but as you'll quickly learn, Rick, babies sleep for like 16 hours a day for the first few months of their life. And so I love to work. I love what I do. I love serving people. So I'm sure I'll still be on a call or two here or there, and I'll still be helping people. But the goal is to really take a lot of things evergreen in the near season so that mm-hmm. I have that time to spend with
sure.
my husband, my daughter, and our new son. So.
Yeah. And I love that, because that's what we're setting up to do on our end, because I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off during that time as well. I mean, I cannot wait for it. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I keep hearing, you know, all these things, but that's okay. I'm like, we're both super excited about it. And so we're very much, you know, the business is set up already in that way, but we're in the process. We've been in the process this year to make sure that, you know, just like you just said, Rachel, like things are not falling down, but my team is running things, and you know, we've got these systems and processes in place and evergreen stuff, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And I have no idea at this point. I'm talking to, you know, friends who do businesses like we have and have online businesses and so forth, who have been newer dads and how they kind of handle things and stuff like that. So it's going to be very interesting, but I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much for coming on here. I really appreciate it. This has been an amazing conversation. Is there anything that we didn't cover?
I think we covered it all. And thanks again so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I mean, if I had to give one piece of advice to someone who's first starting out or somebody who's in an ads business or wanting to do an ads manager business and they're struggling, I think following a proven system or a proven plan is the best thing they can do. And I think that's where Rick, working with you, consuming as much of your content as they can, is going to be their best strategy, truly.
I appreciate that.
And so I would say anybody who's starting or struggling, I mean, ads managers, there's never going to be a shortage of work for ads managers.
Yeah.
There's so much ads work to get done. We get contacted every day from people who need help with their ads.
You have a 6-month waiting list.
Yes. And so there's never a shortage of this work that needs to be done in this environment today with all different types of businesses. And so I would just really encourage people who are considering doing it, who've thought about doing it, who've dabbled in it, or who are maybe struggling, plug into that proven system, that proven plan, whether that's Rick's course or whatever, because it makes all the difference. Rick, taking your course, even as a seasoned ads manager who had a thriving business, was one of the best investments I've made in myself
and
in my business.
I appreciate that.
And so I would highly encourage people to plug into a system like that because it changes everything.
I did not pay Rachel to say that. That was all.
No, not at all.
Rachel, where can people learn more about you and connect with you and get in touch if they want to?
Yeah, the best way to find me is on my website. It's rachelmcmichael.com. And if you go to rachelmcmichael.com/reasons, I've got just a little tool. It's 5 reasons you're losing customers online. And it's just a little free offer that really helps turn classic mistakes into opportunities, especially in the online realm.
Love it. rachelmcmichael.com/reasons. I will link that up for everybody in the show notes for today's episode. Rachel, again, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
As always, thank you so much for listening to the show today. Really appreciate it. Coming up on this week's quick tip episode, I'm going to be sharing a quick and easy Facebook ads targeting hack with you that's going to help you find new relevant target audiences to target, all thanks to Facebook's efforts on increasing transparency. I've been using this strategy for a little while now, and I have found a lot of target audiences that I hadn't thought of before. And I was like, all right, game on. So be on the lookout for that episode this week. And until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.